You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing. Creator and host, Ken Vellante. Editor and producer, Peter Bauer.
This is Ken Vellante with the Something Rather Than Nothing podcast, and we have, for this episode, Dirty Princess, Portland band that I really enjoy. They have a new release that came out this summer, and lucky enough to have the whole band. Michaela, you might remember from Blackwater Holy Light, Jules and Francesca. Wanted to thank you for joining the program and welcome all of you.
Thank you so much.
Happy to be here.
So the first question I generally ask is, what were you like when you were younger? Were you always interested in art or music or musical? And I'd love to hear each of your answers. And just in beginning the episode, if you could just mention your name at the beginning so folks can kind of get used to whose voice is who.
Yeah. This is Francesca. And I was a very creative kid and a fun kind of family. There was a lot of music going on all the time, but I was more into the visual arts and sewing and all sorts of things and kind of just wild little crafty kid. Started taking art lessons at a really young age and then kind of got up into music more later in my life. But always had art, especially painting.
Jules. This is Jules. When I was a kid, I felt like I wasn't here, so there was a lot of mixed worlds, and I think that what helps me write today. I remember hearing music. Well, something that affected me for the first time was like a Pink Floyd song. I think it was like either Time or I think it was something like that. And my dad played it, and I was just like in my car seat. So I was pretty young still. And just like started bawling and shaking. And like, I just was so enthralled that sound could manipulate your emotions. And as a young kid, that was like something that I hadn't grasped yet. And then after that, like, that's all I begged my parents. Like, I wanted to play violin, but it was expensive and my parents were pretty poor. So like, I tried to find something else, and it was like my acoustic guitar was the closest thing. And I kind of had to like learn from a class that in my fifth grade how to play, but also like just kind of dink around and play whatever. And I just remember like playing like one note and just like living in that. Just listening to it ring out, because it was just like something that I never experienced. So that's how I got into music.
Yeah, and sounds like you had a rather sensitive, you know, to have that strong emotional reaction, you know, to music. And that to have that memory. Did you say you were in your car seat?
I was in my car seat because I remember looking down at it and seeing the design. And like, I remember the whole moment. I had to be young, like pre-fathomable memories. So that's why, so that's why it was so intense, because it was one of the memories that I do remember being so young, because I would shift like in and out of this consciousness and like this dream world. My parents thought that I had like ADHD or whatever, which I probably did. But they tried to pinpoint it, but nobody could really figure it out. It was just maybe when I came out of the womb or something, like my spirit hadn't caught up with my body or something. Or
yeah,
my spirit had lived here and my body wasn't caught up. I don't know. Something like that.
Wow, that's like, we got into some deep territory really quick there. I mean, I got sidetracked on trying to figure that out. I know exactly what you mean. I've recently had some conversations about art and emotions connected to music and color. And I never really kind of made the strong connection of how, like you said, you know, music impacts you, the emotion impacts you, and it creates that strong connection. Michaela, and I wanted to mention, Michaela, I sent you a message about this. You're our second return guest on this show, and you've done it in just a few episodes. So I want to thank you for being back, and I also wanted to hear again. You know, one of the things too, Michaela, you'd have the privilege to answer any of these questions completely opposite or to
a whole different person. That's okay.
Yeah, that's true. It's an honor. Happy to be back. But yeah, as a young kid, I was just super quiet and pretty introverted. I was kind of like always just wanted to do my own thing, and my parents tried to put me in sports when I was a kid, but I just never wanted to go to practice. We had a piano in my living room, and I always was sitting at that and just was always drawn to music. And so my parents finally just put me in like music lessons. I started at piano lessons when I was like really little, and then I convinced them to get me a guitar when I was like probably 10 years old, and just fell in love. Yeah, there's a really funny picture of me with my first guitar. I just had really short hair. It looked like a boy. I was a super tomboy.
So cute.
Yeah.
And what was the guitar a certain color or a standout or anything?
Oh, yeah. It was a zebra striped.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I immediately assumed like that Bowie. That Bowie guitar, but no, that sounds like a great photo. One of the things I wanted to ask each one of you, has to do with your art as a whole and the different type of art that you do, including, for your music. I just wondering if in asking you, who are your artistic influences or main artistic influences? Can you throw out a few names as far as those artists who you see in your work due to their influence?
It's hard for me to answer that because I just like listen to like such a wide variety of things. And I feel like I'm influenced kind of by experiences a lot, and like my environments, and like skateboarding is one of those things, like for mm-hmm. Dirty Princess especially, just kind of like influenced by
life.
Yeah.
I would probably say just within my writing and stuff, and this is somebody that I've already talked about being like obsessed with, is like not even in within sound but within visual aspect. It's like I love like Salvador Dali. I feel like what he paints were definitely like connected to human consciousness as a dream world, like in a lot of different things. Like, you know how he like puts limbs on like crutches and like makes them fat or really skinny or really tall?
Yeah, sure.
Like their legs and stuff. I used to have, I think they call it Alice in Wonderland syndrome, and it was cool. I only found this out from Death Valley Girls because I didn't know what to call it. But she said that it's like when you see something, but it changes in size and shape and like length. It gets thin and like fat, kind of. It's kind of hard to explain, but like seeing his art was like confirmation that I just wasn't going through like these experiences alone. That's what a lot of artists helped me realize within, and it helped me reflect it into my music, because when you see that and you're like, yeah, I'm like, you see that as well, you know.
I was just reading and connected to the point Dave Mustaine of Megadeth, they put out this new book, For Rust in Peace, came out in 1990. Just like this, you know, intense, like, I just love this album. And one of the things that was strange is all those guys were just like incredibly jacked up on every drug, like heroin, cocaine, alcohol, super addiction. And they had come out of rehab, but they were all, you know, let's just say they had a few more pounds on than they were comfortable with from before.
Oh, yeah, kind of spun out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, on the video, which I didn't know that, you know, they did this, and on the video, they actually stretched out the film. So it looked like these were kind of like big, you know, imposing, you know, metal guy, like a metal guy, you know, without a shirt. You're supposed to look like a metal guy and be big and, you know,
totally.
And,
and film to make it look kind of like nowadays.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I know. As I didn't know that. I actually think it's my favorite album. So I've been doing a deep dive into reading about its making. And
things come up a lot in funny ways in this band. I have a kind of an interest with him. I had his signature pickups in my old guitar that actually made it sound really sick.
You found it in a dumpster.
Yeah, I found a guitar in a dumpster, but I didn't find the pickups in a dumpster. I got those.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, he's an interesting character. I like that you brought that up a lot, because I'm gonna check that out.
Well, the final thing on my recent reading of that, before we get to Michaela on the artistic influences, is the book is a strange one. I mean, it's a book for, like, I love the album so much, and it's an important album, like, politically as well, I think. But the thing that was strange about it was the guys in the band are having all these arguments about who said what. You know, it's typical bullshit. It was like, yeah, you know, you walked out of that recording session half an hour early. It was your fault. And they're still bitching about this.
Like years later.
Well, yeah, and it was like, I'm reading this, and it's like, look, guys, at least three of you have no recollection of what actually occurred. That's the problem. Nobody
was actually there.
Nobody was actually there in a certain way.
That's so funny.
We'll chat some more about that. Michaela, I don't want to miss you on artistic influences.
Oh, I answered.
Cheska hasn't
answered yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
To kind of go off what Jules was saying about how, like, experiencing visual art and then not feeling alone because of that, like, I definitely feel that it was kind of obvious with the band because we're doing it together.
Yeah.
Which is, like, my favorite part of it because it's, like, a friendship experience.
Yeah,
it is an experience. As far as visual art is concerned, I feel like it does the opposite for me in a really cool way. This is, like, this is why I'm complete individual, and I'm the only one that can paint this stroke, and this is, like, you know, this is it's individual to me, and that's kind of like my painting is super personal and the band is like a show, you know. So I think, yeah, but my, as far as influences are concerned, like, it's kind of all over the board with music for sure, and in art, like, I don't know, I'm kind of a Picasso fan, and like Austrian artists, and this dude Hundertwasser did all this architecture, and I think that's really cool because he made these like surrealist looking buildings, and there they are, and you can live in it, and like to take your art into those kind of realms is really interesting to me, and I like I want to do some sets and stuff with the band, and like kind of, we've always talked about making an experience out of our music and like using all our senses, and like I think that's really cool artistically to be able to, like, I want to be able to take people somewhere else, somewhere surreal.
Yes, I can agree on that 100%.
Yeah, I love that idea of the overall experience of you know what you're trying to do in the band. One thing I wanted to mention about Dali, we actually have in at the Lawrence Gallery, I think it might be physically in McMinnville. They have archives of Dali's sketches, and if you go there and you ask about that, they'll show you some of his sketches, and it really expanded it expanded the idea of who I understood Dali to be, because, right, there's this great commercial aspect to his surrealism. But
yeah,
there's some beautiful, like, pencil sketches of, like, bullfights. Well, I'm a vegan, so I shouldn't be, you know, but, you know, but, like, like, you know, Spanish, like, cultural life. Lawrence Gallery, so make sure, you know, and for listeners as well, I believe it's right in McMinnville.
That would be cool.
Yeah, it's...
That's my friend's grandpa started that. And I grew up in the same town. Yeah, that Duncan.
Damn. That's so cool.
We're finding out some things now.
There's actually a piece, like, 200 feet away from us in a room at this antiques place next to our house where we are right now.
Yeah, we had that.
So cool to be able to have fine art just right there.
Yeah, this person, this collector guys, more than that, I'm pretty sure they have better names.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, well, they have a Dali piece.
And is it like, is a more popular piece?
No, it's not. It's, you can tell, like, he has different eras, and his sketch era was, because he started drawing when he was, like, really, really young. Like, he knew that he was destined to do that probably at age, I think he was like 10, something where you get like 9, 10, he was making these beautiful sketches. Everything has been surrealism, definitely in most of the time, but it's a little bit before that where, like, I love his usage. He has, like, I think it was, like, an egg and then, like, a horse off in the distance. It sounds like Dali, but I don't know what the piece is called, but we'll have to figure that out and let you know.
Yeah, the I just learned one thing about Dali, and I'm sorry this might spoil your experience, but, like, I try to create some of this social connection to it. I love his work. I love Dali's work. One thing I didn't know on as far as social issues go is he was a Rat Fink. He basically outed artists at the House on Un-American Activities during the McCarthy era, during the Red Scare, and he was maligned because he was basically making statements like, I saw him at a communist meeting, or. And he just basically gave a list over to the U.S. Congress about artists that were communists. And
whoa.
Yeah. So I learned that about a month ago, and I'm still kind of reeling from it because, you know, anytime you, like, love an artist and then their politics or something breaks from that, like, like Morrissey, I'm a huge Smiths fan, and he's horrible. He's like, I can't enjoy anything.
I used to be able to, and then some shit comes out. But then recently he made some super racist remarks, like on his last album or some shit
for a long, long time.
Yeah,
so, but with the thing with Dali or whatever, they took surrealism really, really extremely. I don't know if you listen to that podcast, Black Dahlia, but they would, like, use women and, like, they would do, like, sacrifice kind of stuff. And, it, like, women were kind of objects. And, like, this one lady died. I don't know. There's, like, all this crazy dark shit. But they were, like, life is art, you know, like, fuck with people and, like, take.
Yeah, like, go really extreme with it.
Yeah, kind of sadistic, surreal, like, they took it really far. And women, you know, it was a different time. It was, like, the 40s.
Yeah.
But that Black Dahlia podcast is fascinating.
I sent it
really
to
surreal,
me.
Like, ideas of what, they're taking it way too far.
Yeah, okay, so I have to be honest that even though that is, yes, morally wrong, is it terrible for me to find some sort of fascination, not necessarily calling it right or wrong, but a fascination that he wanted to take it that far where he, like, put it in front of him rather than just on paper? Like, I do find interest in psychotic people.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
There's some darker stuff that I won't even mention, but...
Yeah,
the sacrificial kind of stuff. I think some of the people were, you know, maybe you probably would have gotten a robe out and been like, yeah, let's light some incense and I don't know, get some blood and get the goats going. We probably, you know,
yeah, I probably get the goats going.
Once the line gets crossed,
That I got to check out that podcast. And I know you're absolutely right on those Black Dahlia murders. The idea or the major theory, is indeed that these were real life surrealistic exhibits in like the game Exquisite Corpse, right? Are you familiar with that? Where you draw a head and then a midsection and then the bottom part and then you switch them. There was an idea that the Black Dahlia murders were a real life game of Exquisite Corpse, which is macabre,
so
you know?
Dark. It's so dark. It's fascinating. Oh, the 40s, cool time.
All right, we got to pull ourselves out of the Black Dahlia murders.
I told you this would happen. We'd say it.
I have a propensity to, we'll worry about, you know, maybe other interviews where we could do a Black Dahlia episode because there's certainly plenty of, material. So tell me, and this is for all of you or each one of you, and your answer could be a complete fabrication or it can be true, but how did Dirty Princess come to be?
Now Amanda wanted to say something should I be the fabrication version? All right, so there was a plan made by the stars, and they connected all of us in strange places and then after playing together, we realized that we had some sort of trinity. There's something that we couldn't find. We're all very individual, but yet it is this kind of balancing wheel, even though there's three ends. But it works in a way of a triangle, you know, so that I've never learned so much about myself and others from being around these women. And it's just, I feel like it's brought out a lot in us. I don't know. We met, we got together, we learned a lot in music. We played music. We went through all these different emotions together. I think that goes for anyone who's a musician. It's you making art, this might answer the other question too. Is creativity moving through you and then evidence of that creativity? And that's what music is. It's an evidence of emotions that move through us. And we experience so much in this body, and we've experienced so much in bodies prior, that sometimes music, if you find the right people, can give you a reflection of your experiences that also relate to the rest of humankind. So it's not like we're a big band or anything or something super out of there. I think it's just how we've been able to grow from it and see apparitions and strange things happen just from connecting as humans.
Yeah, it's when you play music with people, that's a connection that you don't have with anyone else. It's just vulnerability and it's just raw, pure. You're giving yourself, you're just connecting with someone in such a way that's just really powerful. And it's hard to find those people that you can make music with and just share those experiences, mm-hmm. share your true self.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for that. And I said, you can always create the exact versions of the origin. I don't know. I just seeing the art that you all do and really enjoying your music. And I adore great origin stories because I'm a comic book reader, so that's why I wanted to
Well, we just decided we're superheroes, so
yeah,
we'll have to come up with a good one.
Yeah. I was trying to get into that. Big question, and I know that there's already been, you know, your answer in there about this, but I'm asking it specifically. What is art?
Maybe you should answer that since I said something about it.
That's a big question.
It is, with so many facets.
It's whatever you want it to be. Like, I don't know. It's so hard to define, like, what's the line that makes something art and makes something fucking kitsch or not, like, you know, a craft. It's like,
you know it when you see it.
You know it when you see yeah. it. I think it's it could be so many things, like intense vulnerability or like something that you contemplate for a long time. It's like, takes on so many facets, and I feel that in my, as a creative person, like, I can't pick one thing, so it's like, I just know that I'm an artist, and like, and I make art, and I try to live art, and think about, dance art has always blown my mind, because I'm like, I don't really do it, but I just think it's so cool. It's like moving around, moving your body can be art, so it's like, you can just be a living, walking art.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's been the conversation a lot. It's just like, how cool would it be to get so deep within our art that like every single part of what you do becomes a piece of artwork, like how you move your body, how you speak your words, what inflections you use, like in order to make your own reality like something that is pleasing to you at all times, that like helps you live a happier life. Evidence. That's what I think it is. It's just like, and I can't take credit for that. It was Alex Gray's wife who I started following, who's really into spirituality, obviously, because it's Alex Gray's wife. But she was saying that like it's creativity moving through you and then a piece of evidence. So evidence is like our existence. So existence is what we make it like. So it's a part of, it can be a part of any everything and anything. And like, God is my favorite designer, if we want to go in that sense. It's like the trees and the clouds. That's why we reiterate it on paper for some of us, is because it's evidence for some sort of force outside of our own.
Yeah. Dang. I there's so many ideas in our interview thus far. I'm thinking about each one of them. as far as any other comments about what is art, and I really latched onto the idea of, you know, like, how do you like live as an artist? How do you exhibit yourself as an artist? What, and particularly if it forms what a lot of times, if I'm interviewing indigenous guests, of the reference to medicine of the art, right? Like how it helps heal and cure you, and or running as an activity, that's the medicine that you take in order to like to balance things out. And I think art for me personally, and you know, from the answer and talking to other artists, it has such that pivotal role of like, how do you keep sane? How do you breathe? How do you be healthy? Right. And so I love that, that question. Any more comments on that, on what is art?
I think that sums it up. Yeah.
Okay. So if we take art, one of the questions I've been asking for months on the program, and it's really big, and I apologize, it's like such a big question, but it has to do with art's role now. And so let me give you an example. So when I'm doing the podcast, I've done it for about 14 months, and when the pandemic came in, I said to myself, well, why the fuck are you doing a podcast? Like, people are like, you know, there's like this disease. Are we going to like all die pretty soon? Like, just completely shocked, right? Yeah. And I realized that's, you know, a normal reaction. But I accelerated my creativity in various forms in order to kind of just deal with what was going on. So I immediately understood that artists are now encountering, like right now encountering, like massive things, right? So
yeah.
What is art's role, or your role as an artist, in addressing, like, what is art's role in a pandemic? What's art's role within a racist society? What's art's role in challenging the power structures, or whether it's patriarchy or a capitalist power structure? Does art have a role in addressing those things? And if so, what is its role? What do you see its role as?
I feel like personally, during the, as far as the pandemic part of the question, I feel like there's so much there, but I'll just address the one thing that kind of came to me. Personally, it's been therapeutic for sure. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's just like, I can see that I'm still there by expressing things, like that I'm still me. It's like a reminder, and like, it's like a self-portrait, or like recording a song. It's like, okay. And that's just been really helpful.
Yeah.
And from a therapeutic standpoint, at least personally. And I know it's the band that's like, when we finally got back together, it was, it really felt good. It was like something was missing, but.
Yeah, it's definitely like during the pandemic, like just all the ways that like people have just had to get creative, but in just like bringing people together, like despite mm-hmm. all this, like whether that be, you know, having band practice outside on the mm-hmm. street, or like, you know, doing live streams and Zoom calls and just like classes online, and just all the ways that people have been brought together, like even though everything seems so disconnected right now, that's like the one thing that can connect people.
Yeah, and that's something that we need to do so much right now, is trying to connect. But it's hard. It's like, I do believe that art's role is just like us as humans. You know, some of us have to address the situation head on and be very real about what's happening for those who need a wake-up call. And then we have art that is also calming and takes you to another place, or you know, there's that escapism route. I think both are really necessary right now, because I know a lot of people who are worrying themselves sick and like injuring themselves from fighting so hard. And then I also know people who are so comfortable that it's, they'd rather not, and that's an option for them not to address it, you know? And it's hard, because it's like, where, after being in the protests and doing all this, it's like, where, I'm coming to realize that the biggest thing that art needs to say right now, in my opinion, is the search for the self. Because even within the revolution, within the oppression, there are broken people. Naturally, we're all broken. Like, we've had experiences that change our way of living everyday lives. I think what we need to be focusing on is, how can we be better? Because there's a lot of people who point their fingers and refuse to understand what experiences the opposing side has been through to bring them to this conclusion of hate and other stuff. That I think the biggest thing is taking a look at ourselves and understanding that we're not always going to be in the right, or knowing that as time goes on, we have to be ready to alter our opinions, because as you saw in 2020, things are changing left and right, where it's not even like, it's not even taking it day by day anymore. It's taking it hour by hour.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and art is definitely like a way to look just like inward, and like, just who are we? Like, look at ourselves, learn to love ourselves. because if we can't be working on ourselves, then because our experiences just impact one another so much, we're just all so connected in that way. So just a way to like look inward and then push that energy outwards. How can we
having conversations about how to be better people individually, like I started talking about that with my friend, like starting up, and this is something I still need to do, and I keep talking about it, but if I keep talking about it, maybe it'll happen here. is like getting a book club together, having people just speak on things that they've learned from reading and how we can work on us truly, because that's the thing with social media and everything now. Everyone's like, this is how you need to live life. Look at me. I have 5,000 followers. This is how I live. This is how I live life. Follow me. And, you know, there's all this lies and deceit behind everything. It's like this weird. And this has shown us that, like, we have to get real with ourselves in order to lead the pack, you know. It's rebuilding us as a humankind, I think, because I think this is all new stuff. Humans haven't experienced any of this stuff within the past, you know, 10 to 15 years within like technology progressing and everything. This is a new renaissance. We are writing the playbook for how people are going to live for the rest of their lives. So it's a very important time to be focused on art, which is everything.
Yeah. And thank you for that. I know that it seems to be in general like a tension, right? And what I mentioned, obviously huge, you know, structural issues. And I'm always interested in art's place within that, because, you know, one answer is, look, art is in its own, art's doing its own thing, right? So, I mean, it's a legitimate answer, right? It's like, it's doing its own thing, and I'm not sure how it's connected to all that. And others, you know, I've been involved in the labor movement, social movements for quite some time. When you see what art is doing as an instrument to create consciousness, to disrupt, you know, faulty ways of thinking or whatever art's doing, it's kind of placed more centrally to disrupt or to, you know, or to challenge maybe some of
to
our
beliefs. Challenge. Yeah, I like that word. To challenge our way of thinking. Yeah.
So I got the question, which you might resist, about kind of top albums. But in order to get into this, I'm going to mention my own. So if you had three albums, right? So suspension of disbelief here. There's a record player on an album on an island, and you got three albums you can play, and you might be playing them for a long time. I take... as I already mentioned, I'm on the huge Rust in Peace Megadeth. All right, so that's one. I also take It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back by Public Enemy. And I also take Pink Floyd's album Animals. Those are my three.
Okay.
So I wanted to just go right out there and say it's tough to narrow three albums down, but I did. What about for each of you? What albums you're just going to – these are the ones.
I'm gonna say this one album. I think it's a Herbie Mann album. It has this really cool album cover, but it's this weird harmonica, like harmonica songs that Pitbull and Kesha ended up stealing for one of their songs, which is so weird because it's the most random, and it's very surrealist in the I can't think of the name, but I have it, and I think that one, I like things that mix me up, you know. I have things I like to listen to, and I have things that I like to kind of mix me up. I can't think of top ones. Probably Royal Trucks, Turn of the Century. I'm gonna keep thinking. you guys think.
I have so
many different categories.
I would definitely bring Neil Young, On the Beach.
Oh, yay. That's a good one.
You know, you're gonna be on an island. It's fitting.
Yes.
This is on an island. Shit, maybe I won't bring those records.
The physical location is an island, yes.
Yeah, so. Okay.
You're right, you're deserted. Okay, I would bring Thin Lizzy's Jailbreak.
Uh-huh.
And Melvin's Houdini.
Uh-huh, all right.
Nice.
Those are just always very therapeutic albums for me.
Yes. I think I'm gonna do Rolling Stones' "Sticky Fingers" because it just has a home in my heart. I don't know. I love it.
It should.
I'm gonna go with Minuteman "Double Nickels on the Dime" because it's us. How many songs are on there? Fucking 40. You know? And it has like the most beautiful acoustic guitar piece in it, but also like the best fucking punk rock song ever. So I don't know. I think that maybe that, and then I'm gonna cheat a little bit on the third, and just because it was over here, and I was like, if I had that, I was on an island, I probably like, I really want a compilation, you know? Come on,
yeah.
So I'm gonna go with Easy Rider soundtrack.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's a good one. I have that album. What's the Duke Ellington album that has it in the sentimental mood on it? Because I do that one.
Yeah, I don't know the album, right?
I don't know the album. I've been listening to that recently, like for my morning songs.
Ooh.
And that playlist, let me tell you, it that's what I'll need if I'm on an island. I'm going to need some sax, sweet saxophone,
yeah,
some trump. I'm going to need some horns on that beach.
Definitely. I am going to... we're going to have a quick break. I don't know if you know, we're going to cut to one of your songs and allow you to get some of like that, you know, like everybody right now, you're supposed to walk away from the computer, screen fatigue, all that type of stuff. So I'm going to play, and I want to know this for sure, is the title Mad Cat or Mad Cat Lives?
It's up for debate.
Okay.
It's whatever you want. I thought it was named Mad Cat Lives, and I like it was a typo. But Mad Cat definitely lives, but it depends on how you want to respect his name.
All right. I'm gonna play it now. We're gonna cut to it, and a couple more questions when we come back. Sound good?
Sounds good. We're gonna re-up our dranky doos.
All righty.
Cheers, good sir.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Thank you.
I love that song. I was listening to the album again recently, last couple days, and the visceral, and I was playing it really loud, of course, the visceral, like, fuzz sound, like, pounding you is so much fun. It's like a physical beast you've created.
Yeah, so that's how definitely our live shows have been, but to be completely honest, I'm like, it reminds me of, like, the previous self, because I feel like I've learned a lot, and I'm still learning. I can't say that, like, I'm done. I'll never be done. But I was a lot more intoxicated, allowing my fiercer demons to show themselves. Allowing my deep pain to, like, kind of just be let out, which was good. But I am really looking forward to this new music that we've been writing, because I've actually been able to, like, give a piece of myself without the thorns and all the leather and sticks and rocks and bats and shit, you know? It's funny, like, when you're going through healing processes, like, what stuff comes out, you know? So yeah, it's been, I think it reminds me of, like, different thoughts, but I'm still very proud of it. But
yeah,
because I'm seeing a new horizon, the reason why I'm, like, shun it a little bit.
Yeah, well, it shows, I mean, I think as artists, if you present something, you show something, like when we're talking about the definition of art there, you're like, here it is, you know it when you see it, you put that out there, and then it doesn't tell the whole story of the artist, right? So I think you're pointing to, like, look, yeah, that's a manifestation of what that is, but, you know, there's other pieces to it, right? There's other
pieces. Exactly. Yeah, I think what I became obsessed with, and the girls have heard it so many times, I'd like to say the same thing over and over again, because I'm happy if I need to share it, but just, like, being a not a one-dimensional character, and I think that happens in rock and roll a lot, and the best, they overcame that, you know, like Bowie, Prince, all these people that were big or allowed evolution to happen within themselves. That was when, you know, really cool stuff is being created. I've just been really obsessed lately with, like, never being one dimensional, like, one character to fit the music. It needs to evolve and change just as we do.
Yeah. I think artists, you know, us as humans and us as artists, definitely we fall into that. I think I think with our economic system too, right? Is, like, I think, you know, you all work in music and you're around and see what happens. I think, you know, there's this tendency in music to latch onto what the thing is and market that to death, and you're not allowed.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to be like, hey, look, this is a ballad and it's cool. You know why? Because I'm the artist and I'm making a ballad. So here it is. Yes. So, you know.
Yeah.
The cool thing that kind of goes with that we've been wanting to do is, like, a rock opera.
Yeah.
And, like, use, like, it took, we grew a lot as musicians or whatever in the last few years, you know, and I feel like now we're at a point where we can kind of express something specific, and, like, if we could tell a story, that would be really cool, you know, and then make it an immersive kind of art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
project.
We're really worried about the experience now. We always have been, but I feel like since we've had all this time, when we do get back on the stage, we wanted to really tell a story within our own style. Yeah, we have a new single that's going to be coming out, and it's kind of like an introduction to this new route that we're exploring. So I'm so excited about that.
That's cool. And well, what why don't so what's do you have a name for that, or can you talk about that now, just as far as when that's out and things like that?
Yeah, so our goal, it might change, sometimes things change, but our goal is October 31st, which is full moon, and it's also Halloween.
All right.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just it's different. It's different, and we are really excited about it.
It's called The Saga of Mother Night, and it's a three-part.
It's a
three-part song.
Yeah, three-part experience.
Dang. Oh, so much looking forward to hearing that. Yeah, well, at the end, we'll chat a little bit more about how folks can connect with you. We'll fill that up a little bit. But I can't forget the main question for each one of you is, why is there something rather than nothing?
Well, I don't fucking know, man.
Yes.
What is nothing? I was just watching a Neil deGrasse Tyson video about what is nothing.
Yeah.
And he just talks about how, like, you could go, like, is the air nothing? No, it's air. But if you go up into space, there's no air. Well, there's still, like, particles. Like, if you go in between stars, like, in between galaxies, there's still, like, little particles and, like, cubic meters. And there's still, like, even if there's not the particles, there's still the laws of physics. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. I love Neil deGrasse. He's so enticing. He's like, what if I told you? But I think the same thing too. I think we can't even fathom what is nothing, because we've always been something. So it's like we've had to make do with that. It's hard because it's like the opposite end of a battery, or the same end of a battery, by saying what is something rather than nothing. It's like we have no idea what nothing is. So we couldn't even elaborate on what nothing is. We don't even understand it.
Yeah, and that on the question itself, I mentioned this before, as far as how it's posed, and you mentioned Tyson, as far as scientists always repose the question, said it's the wrong question. The correct question is, how is there something rather than nothing?
Yes.
And it could obviously be asked both ways, but I love that repositioning of that question of like, well, how is it that this is the case? It's a very different question too. So I've been definitely thinking about that all the time. Since it's the big question, I want to make sure that I didn't cut any other answers off. Any other stabs at why is there something rather than nothing?
No, I think
because we're just conscious. Yeah, I don't know. If I was a hummingbird, I wouldn't have even have that thought.
Because you
can think.
Being a human.
Yeah, right, I know.
So at the end here, I just wanted to open up, for each of you and for Dirty Princess, as a whole, telling the listeners, what ways to connect with your art, your music, individually as a band. Please feel free to share to your level of comfort, how to come in contact and get more of your art.
Yeah, we have all the regular ways of Instagram and Facebook, Dirty Princess Band. We got to put the band on there. And Portland, you'll find us. Instagram, Facebook. So we have an email and a website, dirtyprincessband.com.
Yep.
And I have my visual art up on my Instagram, Chartreuse Toulouse.
Check that shit out.
Do paintings and stuff, and yeah.
Yeah, and especially on that painting. skateboard decks, decorated skateboard decks as well, correct?
That's in the works. It's in the works.
We're getting there. Yeah, we're.
Yeah, we got mercantile of other sorts.
Yeah, we're trying to get some shit set up. We are ready to basically, it's getting ready to do the big haul. So promotion and all this other stuff. And so, we work a lot through just Instagram stuff. We don't like to, we stay up on social media, but it's But yeah, just look us up, Dirty Princess Band, anywhere.
I think the only thing maybe to add on after the episode is, given that the way the band presents itself and you know, some obvious aspects of, you know, being badass, you probably need some action figures. You might need some action figures, right?
Yeah, I'm making a plan to do the, like, you know how the Ramones did, like, the Weird Science comic book cover?
Oh, yeah.
With the little, yeah, so I'm going to do a Dirty Princess, one of those, and make I want Weird Josie and Pussycats.
We're very character-like.
I wanted to thank each one of you. I got to tell you, it was a very stimulating conversation, and I just wanted to thank you for being, you know, gracious with your time and thinking about these questions. And I tell you, like, the nature of the conversation, I always say that there's an element, I do this for myself, to be intellectually engaged with artists. And so I really appreciate your thoughts and your time. It's actually been a great pleasure and a great fun for me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We love your conversation. This is what we live for.
And I do have to say that, given some discussion earlier on of some of the darker stuff and Black Dahlia and everything like that, somewhere down the road, we got to figure out maybe a free-for-all kind of... But you know what? Even towards Halloween episode, I'll
watch that. Yeah, that'd be great, because it'll be right around the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Keep in contact.
Raised, yes.
Thank you. Thank you all, and for today, enjoy the, you know, enjoy the wonderful sunshine in the Pacific Northwest.
Thank you so much. This was fun.
All right, bye now.
See ya.
Bye.
You are listening to Something Rather Than Nothing.